Hello to each and every one who has tuned in today. We're glad to be with you by way of this internet program. We're glad that you're tuning in. We know that you are interested in the Bible and subjects of the Bible. We're going to be talking about a very important subject today, and it is about the church that Jesus established. But in particular, we're going to talk about the misconceptions of the church that Jesus built in the first century in this world. And my name is Richard Massey, and I'm glad to be with you today to discuss this very important matter. And we want to talk about the church that Jesus built. Now, he did build a church, and he promised to build it in Matthew 16 and verse 18. But I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. The church was built by Christ. The church is a divine institution. The church is mentioned in the New Testament about 110 times. The church that Jesus built, that we call the Church of Christ, is plainly revealed in the New Testament. We call it the Church of Christ because it is found in Romans 16 and 16. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. This church that Jesus built was planned in eternity. In Ephesians 3, verses 10 and 11, to the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. It was an eternal plan, and it was a very important plan because it is in the church that people will be saved. Ephesians 5, 23 through 25, Jesus is going to save the church. And so you must be in the church. It's very important. You must be in the church that Jesus built. Men have built a lot of churches that are not the church of the Bible. Some people think of the church as just a human denomination. Yes, there are human denominations in our world, but the Church of Christ is not one of them. This is what they thought in the first century. In Acts chapter 28 and verse 22, it says, "But we desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. For as concerning this sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against." People believe that the church was just a sect, that Paul was a member of a sect. They thought it was a faction, a splinter off of the main body, a splinter group. And Christ would not have built a splinter group. Christ wanted his church to be one. Upon this rock I will build my church, not churches. Matthew 16 and verse 18. Jesus did not come to build churches. He came to build his one church. Now, some people think that the churches of our world, the denominations of our world, all make up the church that Jesus built. That is not true. Jesus wanted his believers to all be one. He stated that in his prayer to his heavenly Father. In John 17, he prayed. This is what he prayed in verse 20. "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word." What was he going to pray for them? "That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one." That's the prayer of Jesus. Jesus did not want splinter groups. He wanted everyone to be in the same body. That's why he said upon this rock, I will build my church, not churches. So we're talking about misconceptions of the church today. People have the wrong idea. They think that if you're a part of a splinter group, you're okay. But that's not what Jesus intended to build. He intended to build one church. And that's what we teach. He prayed for all of the believers to be one. And notice this passage of 1 Corinthians 1, verses 10 through 13. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing. And we know denominations don't do that. And so they're not doing what Jesus wanted to be done. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That's 1 Corinthians 1 in verse number 10. And I hope you would turn in your Bibles and read that and mark that verse, because that's what God wants to be accomplished. He wants one single group, one church. He goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 1 in verse 11, for it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them that which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided? Let's ask that question today. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? No, we obey one gospel. And so Jesus prayed for his disciples to all be one. And he instructed that there be no divisions among us, that we be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. So we're talking about misconceptions of the church that Jesus built. The misconception is, and it's a wrong conception, that all of these denominations make up the church that Jesus built. That's wrong. That's not what the Bible teaches. Listen to this passage, or you turn to this passage in Ephesians 4, beginning in verse number 1. We're going to read Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. Listen to verse 3. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. God wants there to be unity, not division, not sects, not splinter groups. And then he goes on to say in Ephesians 4 and verse 4, there is one body. Now that, of course, is talking about the church, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. The one body over which Jesus is the head is the church. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you're called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, not many faiths, one faith, one baptism, not many baptisms, one God and Father of you all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So the Bible tells us that Jesus prayed for unity. The Bible instructs that there be no divisions among God's people. The Bible also shows us the plan of unity. There in Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6, unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, enemies of the church call it a sect, but Paul denies that the Bible is a sect. It's not sectarian. It's not a splinter group. Listen to Acts chapter 24 and verse number 5, where the enemies of the church said this, for we have found this man a pestilent fellow and a mover of sedition among the Jews throughout all the world, and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. But notice what Paul says in verse 15 of Acts 24. He denies that. He says, "And have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and unjust." That is the hope of God. And that is the unity that God wants. I didn't read verse 14. "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way, which they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and in the prophets." They call this sect heresy. But God wants us to be one, not divided. We only have one gospel. We only have one Bible. We only have one Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We only have one Father. The Father and the Son are one in unity, and that's what they want for us. And so all the congregations of the New Testament were called the churches of Christ, Romans 16 and 16. And so they were not a part of a denominations. Denominations, there is division. There is separation. And God does not want there to be division and separation among his people. And so in Acts chapter 2, this is when the church started. In Acts 2, one doctrine was taught by the speaker, which was Peter. And Peter stood up and preached a gospel sermon. And then that gospel sermon convicted those people. In verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then it says, For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." There was one church in the beginning. Look at Acts 2 and verse 47. "Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." You see there, he didn't add to the churches, he added to the church. Jesus promised to build one church, Matthew 16 and 18. Jesus prayed for unity of all the believers, John 17, 20 through 22. The Bible says that there are to be no divisions among us, but we're to speak the same thing, 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. And then we see that there's only one faith, one baptism, one hope, one Lord, one Spirit, one Father, Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6. There is no division taught in the Bible for us to have denominations. Denominations only cause confusion. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14 that God is not the author of confusion. And so on the day of Pentecost, when the church started that day, God added everyone that was baptized on that day to one church, not to many churches. "Now, if you repent and you're baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, what church do you think Jesus will add you to? Will he add you to a man-made denomination, or will he add you to his church, the one that we read about in the Bible? We're all to believe the same gospel. We are all to obey the same gospel. And we're not to obey the commandments of men. The seed of the kingdom is the word of God," Luke 8 and verse number 11. and it only produces one thing. That is Christians. You don't read about people who are Baptist or Catholics or Methodist in the Bible. You only read about people who are Christians. Acts 11 and verse 26 says they were called Christians first in Antioch. And so you don't read about denominational names in the Bible because they're not from the Bible. Division in religion is not from God's word. And so that's a misconception that we're trying to help people to see here today. The misconception that you can be saved by faith alone or by grace alone and be added to a man-made church, that's not in the Bible. You know, Jesus, his last words recorded in Mark 16, verses 15 and 16 says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." And so it's just as easy as reading that passage to know God's will. When we read the passage, we know God's will and what it takes to be saved. Humans come along and say, "No, no, no. You don't have to be baptized. You need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, not in water." They have all kinds of confusion going on. But we know the one gospel teaches the same process makes every man the same thing. Just a Christian, that's all. You don't need to wear a denominational name because they're not in the Bible. Martin Luther, many people are called Lutherans, but they're wearing a man's name. Many people call themselves a Methodist, but that's just simply wearing a man-made name. That's not a name found in the Bible. And so if you'll just obey the gospel of Jesus Christ, you will not be added to a man-made denomination. And so we don't need to think of the church in a divided way. I know that we've experienced hundreds of years of religious division, but if you go all the way back to the source, that is the Bible, you'll find that division is denounced. God does not want division, and that's a misconception we are trying to clarify in our lesson today, that there are misconceptions of the Lord's church, that it is divided, and it doesn't make any difference what splinter group you're a part of, you're going to be going to heaven nonetheless. That's not in the Bible. And so to see the truth of the Bible is that God wanted his disciples not to be divided into denominations and sects and parties. God wanted his people to all be added to one church, one body. And so that's what we read about in Acts 2. And throughout the book of Acts, we read about people being converted, and they are converted the same way. They hear the gospel, they believe the gospel, they repent of their sins and confess the name of Christ, and are baptized for the remission of their sins. That's what the people did on the day of Pentecost, Acts 2. That's what the people did in Samaria, Acts 8. That's what the eunuch from Ethiopia did, also in Acts 8. That's what Saul of Tarsus did in Acts 9. He was baptized, Acts 9. Acts 10, verse 44, Cornelius, the first Gentile to be converted, was told to be baptized, Acts 10, 44 and 45. "Can any man forbid water that these who have received the Holy Ghost should not be baptized as well as we?" And he commanded them to be baptized there. And so that's the pattern that's followed throughout the pages of the Bible. In Acts 16, Lydia was baptized. The jailer of the Philippian jail, he was baptized. No one said, "What about the thief on the cross?" No mention of the thief in the on the cross is ever mentioned in the book of Acts. No one objected. They that gladly received his word were baptized. And there were added unto them that day about 3,000 souls. Acts 2 and verse 41. Now, if they gladly received the word and were baptized, what will you do? Will you also gladly receive the word and be baptized as they were back then under the direction of the inspired apostles? Furthermore, in Acts 2 and verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. 3,000 people were in fellowship one with another. And religious groups today are not in fellowship with one another. The Catholics are not in fellowship with the Mormons. The Mormons are not in fellowship with the Jehovah's Witnesses. The Jehovah's Witnesses are not in fellowship with the Methodists. The Methodists are not in fellowship with the Baptists. There is no fellowship today. It's a misconception that God approves of all of this division and this lack of fellowship today. God wants one gospel to be taught to this world, and everyone is to obey the gospel the same way. The misconception that has spread throughout the world for centuries has been you can believe whatever you want to believe and become a Christian. You can believe the Catholic doctrine and become a Christian. You can believe the Mormon doctrine and become a Christian. That's simply not taught in the Bible. And we're here to lovingly and kindly and politely direct people to the Scriptures and let them read the Scriptures and see that the Bible says that we're all to speak the same thing, that there be to be no divisions among us, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, but that we be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. This is not what denominations are. They're not perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. So it is a misconception that we want to expose today, that that's not in the Bible. We appreciate you listening very kindly and very politely. We love everyone, and we want everyone to know what God's Word actually says. And it does not say that we can all be divided up, we can all have our own interpretation of the Bible, we can all have our own interpretation, but is that what God wants? Has He authorized that? And we know that He has not authorized every person to have their own interpretation and to do whatever they feel like is right and just. Beloved, we have one Bible, one gospel, one Lord Jesus Christ, one God and Father, one Holy Spirit that has revealed the one gospel. As a matter of fact, Romans 1, verse 16, the apostle by inspiration wrote, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The point being, the definite article, the gospel, means there's only one. There are not many gospels. If a man changes the gospel, he is to be accursed. Galatians 1 and verse number 6 says, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him who called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that would trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. When you change the gospel, you've perverted it, and then it loses its power. And he said there in that passage, though we or an angel from heaven preach unto you any gospel than that which we have preached, let him be accursed. And so we're just not allowed to change the gospel. That's Galatians 1, verses 6 through 9. I want you to go read that and realize that we're not authorized to preach different gospels. Thank you for tuning in today. We've tried to address today in a very brief way the misconception that there are many churches that God accepts. when that is not what the Bible teaches at all. There's only one church that Jesus built, and it is the church that follows his word without addition and without subtraction. Thank you for tuning in today. Your speaker today has been Richard Massey. I preach for the Windmill Church of Christ, located 8 miles south of Weatherford, Texas. We hope you'll come and visit with us someday very soon. Thank you and goodbye for now.